Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, how's your hearing? 4 years ago, winter of 1997, my father, who was then 89 years of age, came and spent 3 months with us in Georgia to recuperate from a broken hip. And it was at that time that I discovered that this man who in confirmation class could detect the faintest whisper among the students no longer had that sharp hearing. The television set was always a few decibels louder than it seemed to need to be. And then this past February, when he was spending a couple of weeks with us to get out of the harsh Minnesota weather, we discovered that the deterioration had even worsened, that it had gotten, hearing had gotten worse. Telephone call came, and one of us gave the receiver to him, and it went to his poor ear, and he couldn't make out the voice on the other end. But when he switched it to his other ear, then he was able to hear adequately enough to carry on a meaningful conversation. I share that with you because it triggers for me this question: how's your hearing? I'm not thinking of your physical hearing, how well you're able to decipher the sound waves that beat against your eardrums, but rather, how well are you tuning in to the voice of God as it addresses you? It's a question that is really triggered by the gospel that we listened to moments before. For even though that tagline that comes at the end of so many parables of our Lord is not here, nevertheless, the story of the wicked tenants in the vineyard is crying out to you and me, "He who has ears, let him hear." The first listeners to the parable heard it. When the people heard that Jesus said that the vineyard was going to be taken away from them and given to another, they responded, "God forbid, may that never happen." And when the leaders of the people, the chief priests and the elders, heard the story, they realized Jesus told it against them. And then they moved into action. Rather than taking the parable to heart, they said, "Let's lay hands on him and arrest him and do away with this storyteller, this one who accuses us." What will our response be as we reflect on this parable? Before you answer, "How's your hearing?" I'd like to suggest that we use a couple of the images that are embedded in this parable to help us sense what's involved in hearing the Word of God. And let's begin with the tenants. This is an allegorical parable that reflects Israelite history and undoubtedly is a reference to the leaders of the Jewish people, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. As such, it can be a suggestion for us who are in leadership positions in the church today. Whether we're professors or district presidents or pastors or people aspiring to be in positions of leadership. The picture of tenant asks us to consider, what is our role in the vineyard? Are we the lords of the vineyard, or are we the caretakers of the vineyard? Are we renters who now should be giving God his due? And it's very easy for us to shift from being tenants under the Lord to thinking and acting like we're the owners. For in leadership positions, we end up gaining knowledge. That's what you're doing here at the seminary, gaining knowledge. And knowledge is power. And with that power, it's very easy to shift into thinking, it's my church. It belongs to me. And forget that it belongs to the Lord. You can't imagine how pained the laity are when they pick up signals from the clergy that suggest, I'm seminary educated. I'm the one who should know. You need to listen to me. Such arrogance becomes an obstacle and a barrier for them to hear. If we have this knowledge, then let's use it to figure out ways that we can communicate in humility, in sensitivity, with patience to the people God has placed before us to nurture so that they can produce their fruits in their season. As tenants, what needs to guide us is the way the Lord has modeled the way he wants it done in the vineyard. And that moves us to the second image that can help us check our hearing, the image of the servant. For the servants undoubtedly were the Old Testament prophets that God had sent to his people again and again in the course of history to ask for the fruits of justice and righteousness and innocence and integrity and concern for the poor and the like. You and I are servants sent to the people of God to help them bring forth their fruits in season. And we have a real challenge today. Our old sinful nature has been magnified in our culture, so we become very self-centered. It's my car, it's my home, it's my investments, my money, my scholarship, and all the rest. And what our challenge is to go to God's people and say, it's God's car, it's God's house, God's investments, God's money, and you get the privilege of managing it for him. Now, that's not easy because it goes against the grain of our society to help people sense that they are creatures under the Creator and have the honor and privilege of serving him. But I'd like to suggest to you that as you go in that spirit of servants of the Lord, calling people to give God their due, you'll be surprised. There are going to be a lot of people who tune in like the Macedonians did. And they do more than what is expected. They give of themselves to the Lord. And you have this symbiotic relationship between pastor and congregation that is just plain delightful. Because there you are, able to reflect his love, his patience and sensitivity in our society. But you may meet some resistance. There are people who feel you're meddling now. It's not any of your business. We don't want you to talk about money, Pastor. And so you may feel a bit ill-treated, beaten up, and cast out at times. But if we're listening to the parable, I think we find the courage and we find the wisdom and we find the motivation to go the way of the tenant and the way of the servant. For who do we see revealed in this parable most of all? The owner of the vineyard. He waits a long time before he sends the servant to go and collect his rent. He sends a first servant, and when he's rejected, does he do what we would probably do? Call the sheriff and have an eviction notice given out? No. He says, I'm going to try again. And he sends another servant. And even though he's treated worse than the first, he doesn't quit. And then another servant. And when that one is treated even worse than the first two, he says, I've got one more thing. I just want these people to respond to me. I'll send my dearly loved son. Perhaps they will respect him. And it just seems to me that if you and I see the Lord of the vineyard as this patient, loving, committed, caring God who won't quit, we will find the encouragement and the strength and the motivation to keep at our work, particularly when we see what happens. The son, too, gets beaten up and killed. He's cast out. But in that very action, God gets his way. For in the rejection of the son, God is providing a new beginning. God is providing forgiveness and restoration. He's providing the foundation stone upon which his people will be built. As you and I see that God's love goes the whole way, and even though it faces the ultimate rejection of the whole world, it triumphs, I believe that you and I will say, we're not going to deny like the first hearers did. We're not going to reject like the leaders did. We're going to tune in. For this voice comes from the Lord, and he calls us to himself to build our lives upon him and give us a purpose for living now and a future that will not die. And so when I ask, how's your hearing? I trust that you will respond, I'm listening, for it's the Lord who's speaking to us. Amen. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.